On the show today, we have Cornerstone Advisors' very own Lindsay Hooks talking about an article that she just wrote on the Gonzo Banker blog, and it was entitled Banks and Credit Unions Should Be Developing Intentional Strategies to Counter the Loss of Overdraft Fee Income, a trend that is sweeping financial institutions nationwide right now. So, and Lindsay has some great ideas in here for credit unions and banks here to get creative in this area. So check it out. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our program. And on today's show, we have Cornerstone Advisors' very own Lindsay Hooks on the show. Lindsay, how are you?
Hi, Mike. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you as well. What's that?
I said, and hear your voice.
Ah, good to see you. And welcome to the show. And I don't know whether to call you guys Gonzo or, Cornerstone Advisors, Gonzo Banker. I mean, it's kind of the alter ego of Cornerstone Advisors, right?
It sure is. It's our little opportunity to have a gritty, take on whatever's going on out in our industry. So
yeah, I love how you guys created that persona, so to speak. So, but you guys on the Gonzo Banker site, or on the blog post rather, you wrote a blog post or an article, however you want to word it, that banks and credit unions should be developing intentional strategies to counter the loss of overdraft fee income because of what's happening nationwide. A lot of these credit unions, banks included, that are eliminating their overdraft fees. So that seems to be quite the trend that's going on right now. And so before we dive into the kind of some of the details of your blog post there, so what's your take on financial institutions limiting overdraft fee income? So, how far do you think this will go?
I don't think we've seen the end of it. I think there's two more coming out in the last day. I think there's a lot of eliminating overdraft fee and there's a lot of just compression. So maybe it's not completely saying they're all gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, the big players can say that, right? So what we want to focus on is what can the more, regional and community institutions do to remain relevant in this big environment of losing overdraft. It's easy for a large institution to say, we're getting rid of it. We don't need it.
Right. Right. A smaller one, on the other hand.
Yeah. A smaller institution is like, no, stop. This is critical revenue.
Right,
so,
right.
We hear financial institutions argue that it's a valuable service that individuals and businesses use to bridge a short-term cash shortage,
yep.
Right? So it's like, it's a feature and they're willing to pay this $30 or $35 or whatever it may be in order to cover that. And it's kind of part of their financial strategy.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got CFPB looking into more predatory of this overdraft system, if you will. So, we got to find the balance. I don't think there's one solution for all. And I think everybody uses it differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what, I mean, we've had a few of the credit unions on getting their take, the ones that have eliminated these fees, getting their take on how they did it and why and all that type of stuff. And And each one of them said, it's different for everybody. And this is not for everybody. And each of them said, we did our due diligence. We really researched this and forecasted, things like, and, seeing if we can replace that income and things like that. So the folks that we had on, or the credit unions that we had on, really did their homework in this area. And I'm assuming this is going to be the case for many others as they continue to adopt this trend.
Yeah, I think so. It's part of the conversation now. So I think it is critical that institutions take a look at their products and determine if a change in overdraft policy could actually work to their advantage, be part of the conversation, right? So offer some sort of function feature change that you can talk about that doesn't have to be completely wiping it out. It's certainly not an all or nothing proposition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's right. And the other question that I got, I was on a webinar, I think it was last week. And we got to talking about the overdraft fee income, eliminating it. And one of the questions that came in the chat was like, how can credit unions replace this income? How can we, because we're all for doing this type of stuff, but a lot of us can't afford to do that. So what are some creative ways to replace this? And I didn't have all the answers because I'm not an expert in that area, obviously, but I tried my best, like, crypto, NFT, that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I was throwing that out there.
Right.
So
what about, right. Well, there's a lot of ideas. There's a lot of ways. So that's, Tony and I really came up with a few kind of concrete places to start looking.
Yeah, let's talk about those, because you listed four of them, and, mm-hmm. and the first one, let's kind of analyze them, if you will. And so the first one was redesign checking account offering. So can you expand on that one a little bit, and then we'll go into the other three as well?
Sure. So part of my role at Cornerstone is to facilitate our Cornerstone Payment School. And so Tony and I host institutions multiple times throughout the year, and we have unique access to talk one-on-one with these institutions. What are you doing? Where are you? So part of our exercise there is to look at year-over-year metrics and provide an analysis and benchmark against peers. So we can say to those institutions who are beating the benchmarks, what are you doing? What's changing, right? Because we know that what worked 3 years ago isn't the same as what's working today. And even a year ago, things look different. So it's just a dynamic dynamic process, really, to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, as part of our review, we say, okay, well, what's working? And if we identify an institution who's lagging behind those benchmarks, we can share ideas. Mm-hmm. So what we consistently hear is that institutions who have benefits with those checking accounts that are deepening the relationship with their members really have better numbers. I mean, it's that simple. And sometimes that's a higher interest rate on a checking account. Sometimes it's, you know, required direct deposit numbers or free ATM access, other incentives. Anything that is going to drive better penetration really gets us that non-interest income.
Indeed. Yeah, indeed. And the second one here was market debit card spend. So you can expand on that one a little bit too?
Yes. So, you know, marketing and debit card spend can be part of this checking account. Account marketing, right? They kind of go hand in hand. But there's another dimension, really, and we consistently see that institutions who are marketing to their existing cardholders have those stronger non-interest income metrics. So again, we talk one-on-one. Who's doing what? What are you hearing? You know, what's working out in the marketplace? Mm-hmm. You know, we see campaigns like, we need to have X number of transactions per month. So perhaps the institution can pull a list to say, you know, these are all of our members in good standing, and, you know, they're lagging behind that benchmark that we want to hit. So you could market to those individuals. So maybe it's not a campaign to all the membership, right? It's targeted marketing to say, if you use your debit card 6 times this month, we're going to deposit $5 into your account. Right. Little campaigns along the way. So the marketing is different, different than that checking account standard offering. Another way that I think is really interesting that we all need to be thinking about that marketing and increasing that top of wallet place is with mobile wallets.
Yeah,
I mean, a couple of reasons. Like, we're seeing mobile transactions exceeding credit card transactions right now. The trend is like, it's staggering. And I keep reading and I'm like, is this really what we're seeing? I mean, it's happening, right? And the cool thing about those digital transactions is those are typically going down the signature rails. So your Apple Pay, your Google Pay, your Samsung Pay are all signature transactions, which have higher interchange than your PIN and your PINless. So kind of combining those marketing strategies to say, let's get 3 Apple Pay transactions a month or Google Pay, and we'll give you $10 or $5. Yeah. Get your card to be the one that's provisioned to their Apple Pay or, you know, mobile wallet.
Yeah, you just described me right there. Anytime I can use my Apple Pay, I am all over it for sure. Yeah,
I'm all about the watch.
Yeah, like, me too. It's almost fun.
Family, you know? I just like think.
Well, especially during the pandemic, like, I didn't want to touch anything, you know, and I was like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
So, and that's a whole nother show we could talk about, but I'm all about the Apple Pay for sure. Number 3 here, credit card products. You alluded to credit cards and, you know, all that type of, so let's expand on this one a little bit as well.
Yeah. So, you know, at Cornerstone, we support a lot of ROI studies, and Tony, my colleague, who I co-wrote this article with, he manages a lot of the credit card program ROI investigations. And at the most basic level, we see a lot of credit card programs that are not growing and they're even operating at a net loss.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yes. So there's huge opportunity there. You know, and really what we also see is if there's no rewards incentive, there's no reason for someone to choose your card.
Got that right.
Take a look at those programs. You know, a lot of the card processors have great marketing, you know, opportunities baked right in. They've got your data. They have, you know, all these marketing opportunities, is particularly for credit unions. You know, they know what's working, what doesn't, what data is interesting right now. So mm-hmm. leverage those relationships that you already have, yeah. And increase that credit card relationship.
Agreed. And the last but not least, for sure, business payment services. So can you expand on this one?
Yes. You know, the big opportunity here is within credit card. You know, whether it is, you know, small business credit card programs that offer incentives or rebates or rewards, it's just another place. Interchange on those debit, business debit programs is typically higher than it is on your consumer. So mm-hmm. think about if you've got just a subset of credit card users that are small business, look at marketing a full-on business program.
Yep.
There's opportunity there to increase all of that revenue.
Yeah, I've been seeing more and more of that. That's why I'm glad you guys included that. And I've been seeing more and more of that in the industry on the credit union side for sure. You guys are probably seeing it on the banking side too. So,
yes.
So from your perspective, what can bankers and credit union folks not do in this situation as this trend continues to snowball? Let's talk about the not.
Yeah. Don't pretend it's not happening.
Yeah. Don't be an ostrich and stick your head in the sand, something like that.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it's here.
Yeah.
And you know, really in general, you know, today it's overdraft, right? But there are other threats out there to that non-interest income that, you know, credit unions and banks are relying on, particularly in the community space. So if you pretend it's not happening and it's just going to blow over, you're missing a huge opportunity.
Yeah.
We, you know, we're strong proponents that you need a payment strategy. 25 to 50% of your income from, you know, from Cornerstone numbers and what we see of our really successful clients, 25 mm-hmm. to 50% of the non-interest income should come from payments.
Yeah.
You can't ignore that revenue stream.
Yep,
so
that right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and like you said, assess the situation, right? Take those numbers. What can you do? And what changes can you make to still remain relevant in the overdraft conversation? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean cutting it all out and just writing, you know, that opportunity off.
Yeah, sticking your head in the sand is the worst strategy you can do, especially in this case, and pretty much anything. So, right. So gosh, yeah, because you guys also pointed out that the fintechs are nipping at our heels also, and other kind of forward looking disruptors are out there just waiting to kind of you know, take the bait, so to speak, or take advantage of what's going on.
Yeah, or just cut you out.
Yeah,
it's not even about you necessarily. It's they just want it for themselves, you know. And it's so you got to find ways to deepen those relationships, really, and keep your members engaged.
Yep, and be creative for sure. Anything else here to wrap up, Lindsay? This is such a timely topic, and as this trend really sweeps the country, and like you said, I think we're just seeing the beginning of it right now. So it's going to be
I think, you know, overdraft with inflation. You know, money is not going as far. It's a big deal. So I think that it could be more relevant for consumers who are, you know, waiting for that next paycheck. How do you get creative and support those members? Because, you know, ultimately as credit unions, that's the idea, right? What can we do to support our community in these times? So what opportunities are there? Because this is, it's serious. And it's not changing overnight.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. And that's what a bunch of those credit unions said too, that we had on the show, is like, hey, we're looking at this as an opportunity to really provide some value to our members. So
yes.
Yeah, good point. Alrighty, Lindsay, we will put the link in our show notes to the article as well, so people can get right to it and check out some more details in there, because we're just scratching the surface here. But again, thank you so much for being on the show today and writing this article who was the co-author on this one again?
Tony DeSanctis.
And thank Tony as well. You guys did a great job on this one.
Great. All right. Thanks, Mike. Oh, you're